microphones were misbehaving, but that doesn't change the fact that I can say as well. Amen. I appreciate. And that's the great thing about knowing the Lord. Amen. It doesn't make it easy. It doesn't mean every day's a rosy day and that life's just a simple path, but it does mean that every day, no matter what comes our way, no matter what we might face, I know that it's well tonight, not because of who I am, not because of where I'm at, but it's because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has put down in the depths of my heart, so I can say it is well. All right, take your Bibles this evening. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18. We're going to do a little illustration. I got just the right amount of fellas on the front row up here, so y'all are going to be my help. And Kayla's over here punching. Kayla says, see, aren't you glad you sit up here with us? All right, now we're going to look at something tonight. Nothing new, nothing new. There's nothing new in this book, but I believe it's one of these things that would be a great help to us. Look in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. We'll read that one verse, pray, and let you be seated. Proverbs 18, verse 24. Let's stand together out of honor and reverence to the Word of God tonight. This will move fairly quickly, I think. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now we've probably, if you've been in church any time at all, you've probably heard that verse quoted or misquoted. You know, people beat around that verse. But there is the law there of friendship, that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. If you're gonna have friends, you gotta be a friend. And I there's all kinds of friends. I have very few what I would say are best friends or good friends, but there's a lot of people throughout my life. I think of young men that I went to school with from the time I was in kindergarten to the time I graduated high school. We ran around together, hunted together, done all kinds of things together. And I can tell you now, I've probably not seen any of them in 10 or more years. I've had friends that when they needed something, I was their friend. Any other time, they didn't even know me. So there's all kinds of what people call friends, but I'm thankful that the verse goes on to say there is a friend. And tonight there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and he's the friend of all friends, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at some things tonight about friendship just real quickly this evening. And let's pray, and I'll let you be seated. Father, we love you. Sure, thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Thank you for the good songs we've enjoyed tonight. Lord, I pray, God, is that song we sung just a few minutes ago there at offering time, Lord, I pray that you would set my soul afire. God, give us a zeal tonight. God, help us to go beyond ourselves. And God, we'll thank you for all that you do here this evening, Lord. We'll praise you for it. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Again, the Bible says that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let me read two more verses to you out of Proverbs. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. It says, a friend loveth at all times. Now tonight, I want to be a good friend. I want to be your pastor. I want to be your friend. I want to be your brother, and I want to work with you in the things of God alongside with you. But to be a real friend, scripturally speaking, the Bible says a friend loveth, and boy, this is hard, at all times. It's so easy to get our little chip on our shoulders. It's so easy to have our little pity parties. Well, nobody loves me or nobody cares about me, and we all get there from time to time. But I'm talking about a real, true, scriptural friend. Proverbs 27:9 says this, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. There's something about a friend. There's something about knowing that we have, and that's the importance of a great church family. I know a lot of churches today that, boy, they don't even talk. They don't even know one another. I don't believe we've got the unity that I wish we had. But I'm thankful tonight that I go to a church that not made of man, but centered around the things of God. And I really believe, listen, if you're looking for the preacher to do everything right, you're going to be really disappointed. If you're looking for the deacons to do everything right, you're going to be disappointed. If you're going to look at the congregation to do everything right, you're going to be disappointed. But I'm telling you, I believe in the good church family that we have, that when somebody has a need, when there's something that arises, I believe with all my heart that we'll band together and see God work in our midst. And that's the greatness of a church home. People today, they don't think much of the church. They don't think much of the church family. But I'm thankful tonight that I have a church home. I'm thankful that I have brothers and sisters. I have preacher friends that I can go and talk to and call them. And I don't have any friends like Brother Cofty, though. I had lunch with him Thursday, and he told me of a friend that he had up north. I ain't got one of them friends. Probably don't need one like that. But that guy, Brother Cofty, and I don't know the guy's name. Don't matter. And it's not what builds friendship. But this guy here, him and Brother Cofty used to be good friends. I've decided one of the things that divides friendship is if you're trying to walk with God and your so-called friend ain't, that friendship don't last long. There'll be a dividing there because you're not going to stay close to the Lord. And if your friend has nothing to do with God, that's going to split that thing. I'm telling you, when I worked public work at Freightliner, just taking a Bible, buddy, you'd think you had some kind of disease. I didn't read my Bible at work time, but at break time and lunchtime, I'd bring my Bible out and read and study. I was going to Bible college, so I'd probably done a lot of homework during that time. But people just, back away from you, I don't want nothing to do with you. But if you're telling a dirty joke or doing all those obscenities that most of the places do, they'll gather around you about like a bunch of chickens, But I'm just saying, I'm thankful though that I can say I've got some friends. True scriptural friends. And that's what we want to look at. Take your Bibles. I want to look at a story here found in Mark chapter 2. Very familiar scripture. And it's dealing with, I believe, a great picture of friendship. Mark chapter 2. Again, remember, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. So if you're going to have friends, what kind of friend are you? It's a good question. What kind of friend are you? And I want to look at some fellows here tonight in Mark chapter 2 that I believe were some good friends. The kind of friends that I want to be for you. And I hope you'll want to be one of those friends for me. Here in Mark chapter 2, look with me in verse number 1. The Bible says, again, he entered into Capernaum, and after some days it was noise that he was in the house. And that'd be good tomorrow. Go to work, tell everybody, hey, he was in the house at the church yesterday, should have been there. Make noise. Hey, listen, the best way to witness is make people want to have what you got. Listen, if you go to work tomorrow and you're all blah and down in the mouth and look like you've been sucking on lemons and ain't got nothing good to say, why would anybody want what you got? But if you'll go to work tomorrow with a smile on your face, well, preacher, you don't know what listen, they teach those girls how to do those pageant waves. Sometimes you just got to smile. It's the right thing to do. Just put one out there. Hey, sing a song. Amen. Put a song in your heart. Put some verses in your mind, in your heart. But it was noise, the Bible says, that the Lord was in the house. Verse 2, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Boy, I love them. I got that underlined. And he preached what? The word. That's amazing that the word preached the word, isn't it? But that's what he preached. He preached the word. Verse number 3, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up and let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived, and don't you hate people? God just did a great miracle. They didn't even understand what he just did, but all they could find was negatives. Well, that's not much of a type of friendship that I want to be around that kind of people. They are, something good happens in your life and people run around, they want to find the negatives. They can't rejoice with you because of the positives. They want to find something negative, and I can tell you why. It's called humanism. It brings them up and pulls you down in their own mind. And that's what was taking place here. Verse 7, why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that they may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. There's a world around about us tonight. They have seen a lot of bad things. I'm ashamed of a lot of, I'm ashamed of me most of the time, but I'm ashamed of a lot of so-called preachers. Boy, nothing hurts, I believe, the effect of the church and the community when you see a preacher fall. And buddy, I've seen them falling left and right over the last few years. Men that I thought was gun barrel straight, never thought they would do what they did, but they did it. That just reminds me, it helps me. I never forget Brother Kofke. Boy, what a friend he is. He called me just out of the blue. He heard of a preacher that we both knew that just committed a terrible crime. Should have went to prison. I hope that's where he's at now. If it'd been up to me, I'd just said shoot and be done with him. But he called me and he says, I just want to tell you I love you. And I says, when you see stuff like this, you better put your guard on because it could be you. That helped me. I see what they do, and not that I'll never do that. I don't want to do that, but it lets me see that I could do that. If they could do it, I could do it. And it wakes me up. But it says we never saw it on this fashion. Well, there'd be a world difference in Rowan County if people like you and I would get away from our gossiping, get away from our bickering, get away from the troubles. It was in the news not long ago of a church, I don't remember what, I think it was in Rowan County, I don't remember what it was. They voted the preacher out 3 months ago and he wouldn't leave. Press has a heyday with that stuff. Community has a heyday with that stuff. That old preacher, he took all this or he did all of that. Man, they run with that. And it really hurts when you go knock on somebody's door and tell them that you're here to tell them about Jesus. You go to Gospel Light Baptist Church. We need to let people see that we are beyond flesh. We're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as here as this bunch of religious people had murmured in themselves here in verse number 12, says, we never saw it on this fashion. And that's what I want people to see. I want them to see Christ anew. There's nothing new about him, but I want people to see farther than what you and I are saying. I want them to see the zeal. I want them to see the excitement. I want them to see how great God really is. But how are they going to see without us? We got to be that one that goes forth. So here we see a great story here. And again, Proverbs chapter 18 talks about a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And we will look this season here, and let me just draw our minds to what we're seeing here. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ had came into Capernaum, and it was noise about that he was there. And because he was there, the great crowd had assembled. He'd gone into the house, and they were many that filled the house waiting to hear, waiting to see. And here we see that there was a man taken with palsy, a man that was sick and afflicted, couldn't walk, couldn't do. And here he had four friends, four scriptural friends that knew that this man had a need. They loved him. They wanted to do something for him. And because of that, they took him up by his bed and carried him to the place where this man Jesus was at. And when they got there, the Bible said the crowd was so thick, it was so heavy around the house that they couldn't get into the door. There were so many people pressing, trying to get in. And here these four fellas are holding their buddy up, carrying him by the bedside. And they want to get him to Jesus because they know that maybe that could get some help to this friend of theirs. So what do they decide to do? The Bible says that they took and went up on the rooftop and began to take away the roof so they could let this man down by ropes into the room where Jesus was. Now I want to say this evening, I believe that as we read this, as we think about what took place, I believe these four fellas must have been pretty good friends to the one that lay on that bed. How many friends tonight, I don't want to ask you to name them, but how many friends tonight could you call tonight about 3 o'clock? Wake them up in the middle of the night and say, hey, can you come over here? I can't get out of the bed. Will you carry me over to the hospital? And we got cars. Oh, leave me alone. Call 911. Hang up. That's a real friend, isn't it? But here is a group of men that showed themselves to be what I believe are true friends. First of all, let me show you some things. First of all, what a great picture this is. I believe you can draw this into salvation somewhat. Here is a man that was sick with palsy. He could not physically get himself any help. And I'm telling you, when I saw myself lost as lost could be, there was nothing inside of me, as much as I wanted to get saved, as much as I didn't want to go to hell, there wasn't nothing that I could do in my own self. And here's a man, just like I was, that wasn't able to do for his own self. He couldn't only not get himself, but he couldn't even follow the crowd that would get him to Jesus. But the thing I want us to look at here this evening is his friends. And again, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. There's something very interesting about these men. Two really great things, and the first of all, and again, you gotta just sort of run this through your mind. Notice the Bible gives us no names. No names. Why? Because I believe with all my heart tonight that the Bible says that a man that have friends must show himself friendly. Listen, if I'm going to be a friend, I've got to get past the fact that it must be about me. It don't need to have my name on it. It don't need to have your name on it. Hey, tonight we see four men that loved their buddy so much that they was willing to take it up and carry it all the way to the house. And God doesn't even mention their names. And friend, tonight we need to get past who we are. I know when I worked public work, boy, everybody loved them old attaboys. Oh boy, you done a good job, attaboy, attaboy, and you gotta be careful of that stuff. Our saying around work was, one uh-oh kills all attaboys. It does. But listen, tonight, I can't say I'm a friend if I'm trying to do it just because it's about me. Here at the church house, listen, we don't try to build up nobody. We don't, I hope you don't. Listen, I don't want the praise of men. But these men here in this story here in Mark chapter 2, a great picture of what a true friend really is. They have no name. And friend, tonight you need to die to your flesh, die to yourself, get yourself out of the picture, and don't worry about it. Listen, we've given a lot of, I mean, I don't have a lot of money, but I've given a lot of money out over the years because God gave it to me and I just give it on out. I always give. If somebody needs something, I always give it, planning never to get it back. Why? Because most of the time you don't. I tell the men and our deacons, and I've said it even before, and we help a lot of people at the church when we can. Physically, financially, spiritually, most of all, but the preacher, you give them any money, they're just going to go out and buy all some beer and drug, and we don't give them money. I'll tell you that up front. We'll pay their rent or help them with their water bill or give them some food, that kind of thing. Buy them a little gas, whatever it needs. But listen, if we go with that attitude of, well, they'll do this and do that, you're not giving the right reason anyway. But when you give it out of the love of Christ and leave it at that, out of the motive of our heart, not out of our mind and our pocketbook, that's a true friend. Look, I don't do to get. And here these men, again, God doesn't even name them. And the second of all, another thing that I see about these men, when they let him, I mean, can you imagine? They carry that bed, they lift this man up, they get up there and literally take the roof off of this house, lower this man down in the room. God never even mentions their names. And second of all, after the Lord heals this man, and first of all about his sin, second of all about his physical disability, heals him, he gets up, he takes up his bed. Boy, thank you for old Joe and Fred and Ralph. Boy, he was good. Boy, they carried me to the house. No. Where did all glory go to? Verse number 12 tells us that they glorified not the friends. They glorified God. And tonight, that's the type of friends I want. I try my best and I want to do a good job. I want to try to be a great preacher, not in the eyes of men, but I want to do the Lord the best I can. And people sometimes come up and say, boy, preacher, appreciate, did that. Boy, that was good. And I try, if I don't, I hope I try every time. I always want to turn that thing around and say, boy, God be the glory. What I'm saying, it's not, again, and that's not that other side of pride, but I really, here, the thought of this friendship, the rejoicing and the attribute or the acknowledgement didn't go to the friends that carried him, that hauled him, that lifted him, that let him down. No. all the glory went to where it was due, and that was to God. And that's the kind of friends I want to be around. Listen, that's the kind of friends that'll never leave you. That's the kind of friends that'll be there in thick and thin. So again, the Bible says that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. So here's what I want to do this evening. Here's a man. Come here, man. You get the easiest job of the night, buddy. Lay down. I was going to do this, but I'd probably go to sleep soon. Here's a man, sick of palsy, laying on his bed. He's got some friends. Come here, friends. I'm just going to preach out of my hip tonight. I'll just leave that up there, and I want to give you the verses. Now, stand over here. I want everybody to see you over here. Y'all are my friends, or you're his friends. I hope you're his friends. They might not be friends afterwards, but they're friends right now. Here's four guys. They got a friend that's sick. They got a friend that's got a great need. They had heard about Jesus. They had heard of the miracles of Christ. And they heard that Jesus was close by. How close was he? I don't know. He might have been two doors down. I don't know. Might have been 2 miles up the road. I don't know. But they heard that it was noise that Christ was in town, and that they, as a group, decided they loved their friend so much that they wanted to be a friend to him, and they wanted to take him to Christ. So, again, their names are not Caleb. Caleb was not their name. But I'll tell you what, one of the, I believe, one of the friends that could have been there that day, and who knows, this is just where I'm at with this. You can make your own up as we go. But I believe a part, again, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. One of the things is a friend that I see about this group of friends, the first thing I see is they had compassion. Compassion. So here we have a guy by the name of Compassion. He's a friend. And tonight, church, we need to learn to have compassion toward one another. The Bible talks about how God is a God full of compassion. Aren't you glad that when God looks at you, He has compassion? Hey, but friend, tonight, where's our compassion? We're too busy, and I don't know why I'm here, but I have never, y'all, some of y'all been in this thing longer than I have never seen any other critter kill their own like Baptists do. Baptists most of the time don't have much compassion. They want to run somebody down. They want to do something, kick them, beat them up or something, I don't know. But this group of men, I believe they had compassion. They looked at their friend and had true, earnest, desiring compassion for their friend. Well, I ain't going to help him. Y'all can pick him up, I'm pretty sure. Show me some guns, fellas. Come on. You got to help me. Come on, show me some guns, fellas. I might get some. Come on, fellas. Look at there. See, look here. Look here. Look at that. Come on. Come on, help me out. Come on, Kane. Show him some guns there, bud. Look at there. There we go. These fellas, they wouldn't have any trouble picking him up. I ain't helping him. He stinks. He ain't had a bath in 3 days. He ain't got no money. He ain't going to pay us. No. They had a friend. And compassion says, hey, let's help him. Let's go beyond. Well, compassion. The TV show's coming on 8 o'clock. Don't you want to stay home and watch TV? No, compassion says, I don't need to go to that TV show, or I don't need to be here. I'm going to take time and help this person. That's compassion. So, first friend's compassion. And then there's another friend. His name's not Caleb either. I believe not only for a man to show himself friendly, there's got to be some compassion. But I believe one of the greatest things that I see in this story is about this friend, that friend of faith. The Bible, the Lord said they're according to their faith. Tonight, not only did our friends have compassion towards this man, but they had faith They had heard, they had seen, I don't know, but they had said, there's something about this man Jesus. And let's have some faith, not in ourselves and not in our own doings, but let's have faith in that one named Christ. So to be a good friend, I believe we must have faith. Tonight, if we had a faith meter, how would you read out tonight? According to their faith. Tonight, do you believe God can? Do you believe God will? Oh, tonight, church, that's what we need in our friendships as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we just believe God can and God will. Well, preacher, what if He don't? God don't make mistakes. God's will is always right. So, we see a friend of compassion. We see a friend of faith. Don't forget your names, because I might. Here's another guy. His name ain't Jesse. We got a friend named Compassion, a friend by faith. But here's another friend that I believe a lot of people ain't got this anymore. Here's a friend that I believe has got some integrity or some will about him. What do you mean, preacher? Most people would look at what they had to do and say, I can't do that. But their friends saw a need. They saw that they might have carried him a mile. I don't know. But there was a friend that had a desire, that had a will to get him from point A to point B, no matter what it took. How much you weigh? 180,000 pounds here. No. 165, he says. He's a skinny feller. My leg weighs that much. Now, if Rick and Lanier was here tonight, I'd tell my joke, but he ain't here. I'll save it. 165 pound fella in a bed. It might not be too hard to carry him from here to the wall. But if you got to take him over there on the other side of Ennis Street, he might get a little heavy before we got down the road very far. But we got a friend here that has compassion, that wants to see something help. We got another friend that has some faith in the one they're taking to. But then we got a friend that has some desire to see it happen. Let's go, fellas. We can do this. And church, we've got to get some of that back in our grow and just say, by the grace of God and through God alone, we're going to move on and press forward. But then here's a friend that says, well, I'm so thankful for Brother Maynard. Y'all don't know how... You love Brother Maynard. He, for you that know him, he's been here several times. He'll be back in October for a Sunday or so. Brother Maynard has been a help to this preacher. I've been preaching since 1996, I guess, seven, somewhere in there. Brother Maynard calls me. I try calling him a lot and other men that I know. Just to not gossip, not to spend a lot of time. But just to let him know, hey, I'm really praying for you. I want to see Brother Maynard succeed. Not in the eyes of men. I want to see Brother Maynard continue to preach and go and do. He's tired. When they get back from Trinidad, he said he's going to do something he hadn't done in, I think he said 11 years. That might not be the right years, but a long time. He and his wife are going to disappear for a whole week. He says we're physically wore out. But Brother Maynard's one of those, you fellas that know a little bit about sports or lifting weights, that guy, that spotter guy, when you don't think you got one more setup in you or you got one more rep of lifting that weight, there'll be that guy there that's got a little bit of something in him that's pushing you to do one more. And when you think you can't do one more, just that encouragement, that desire, will kick in and you'll do one more or maybe a few more. Here's a friend that had a desire to see his friend get to where Jesus was. Listen, I there's no doubt in my mind tonight that every one of us in here can truly say that we've got people that we call friends, loved ones, acquaintances, that we'd love to see them get saved. But and I don't mean this disrespectfully. Don't leave this way. I'm not meaning it that way. But can I say this? Talk's really cheap. We can talk about it all you want. But until you put forth some effort of praying and fasting and putting some work to it, that's when you're going to see some movement. And friend, tonight we need some part of our friendships that's got a little grit to them. I've told you the story about Richard. He's dead now. I hope he's in heaven. He told me he was saved. He was that perfect example of the guy that you don't tell him he couldn't. Because when you said he couldn't do something, something inside of him clicked and he was going to do it. For you that don't know this story, let me tell you this. We had an 18-volt DeWalt drill in our shop. We sitting there goofing off like we did 99% of the time, not doing anything. And I sitting there playing with it. You know, they were new back then. This is a long time ago. This is back before everybody had one. They were pretty new to us. And they got that clutch in the head of it. And I was sitting there, you know, I'd start out on one. And I'd turn it on and grab it. And the clutch would... And I'd work it to 2, and I'd work it to 3, and all the way up, I think it went up to 16 or 18, I don't know. But, you know, about 2/3 of the way up, you turn that thing on, you couldn't make that clutch slip. And old Cooley was sitting there one night and says, "You can't make that thing stop." I was like, "No, and you can't either." So I seen the fire in his eyes. He grabbed that thing up. I mean, he had it on the highest set, and he turned that drill wide open and grabbed it just like that. And smoke come off his hand. He blistered it from all that part right there where he grabbed that drill head. He went, "Oh!" And then he done the dumbest thing. He grabbed it again. But he wasn't going to get beat. He goes out, he puts the drill down, didn't say nothing, goes out to our buggy where our toolboxes was, got a T-wrench out of his box, went in there and chucked that T-handle in that thing and grabbed it by the T-handle and he says, "I got it now." And he held it. He did all of that for what purpose? To say that he could stop a drill? That's worth about nothing. But I'm saying tonight, that's what desire is. When we talk about friendship, we need to be a friend. A man to have friends shows himself friendly. He's going to have compassion. He's got to have some faith in what we're talking about. If you don't believe God can do something, you're not going to be able to tell other people about him. But then you've got to have some desire. We're not quitting. I've seen so many people quit over the years. I'll tell you right now, this is one preacher I hope I died doing what God's called me to do. I can quit. Plenty of preachers better than me's quit. Happens. You say, "Well, I'll never quit." Been a bunch of you just like you quit. But I don't want to quit. And if you don't have something inside of you, and even when it comes just to simple friendship, look, I found this out. The people that hurt us the worst are the ones that we love the best. Somebody in this church is going to hurt you. You're going to get mad. But you better not quit. You ought to just have that desire, that love, that faith, that no matter what, they was having a bad day. You don't know what they was going through. Man, I took a chewing several times, and my wife boo-hooing and crying in tears, and I was probably boo-hooing and crying in tears. And I tell her, I said, "Look, they were just mad. They didn't know what they were mad about. They were just mad." And I got to be the whipping post that day. But listen, we got to have real friendship where when I don't want to turn my back on somebody. I don't want to walk away from them. So we got a good friend here of compassion, of faith, and desire. And here comes our last friend. Come here, friend. This ain't Cain. Here's a good friend. It sort of goes along a little bit with compassion, but I think it goes a little further than compassion. I believe here's a friendship called love. When you love somebody, love is such a simple word. Love is such a perverted word in our society. But I'm glad I know what true love is all about. Because Christ is what true love is. And here's a friend that has some other friends, compassion and faith and desire. Here's a friend of love that loved this man so much, he was willing to give of himself. So here we have four friends. Here we have a great need. Come here, compassion. He looks on the situation and has compassion for his need. All right, compassion, get your corner and take him over to Jesus. Come on, compassion. All right, compassion. See? Compassion on its own don't get the job done. Maybe faith could do it. Come here, faith. Faith, Jesus is over there. You believe he can fix him, don't you? Well, get him over there, faith. Well, he moved him a little bit. Come on, faith. Don't you believe it? Surely desire can do it. Come here, desire. The strongest of all. Desire. Surely you can get him over there. See if you can get him over there. Oh, he's got a desire to do it. I believe he pushed till he died, but he can't get it. Come here, love. Love. This is my buddy, love. All right, love. You love this guy. You want to get some help? See if you can get him over there, love. No. What's wrong? It takes it all. Let's see if we can do it a little bit different. Come here, compassion. You get up there. Come here, faith. You get over there. Come here, desire and love. Y'all get on these corners. Now everybody get your corner and see what we can do. Now don't let me down, fellas. You gonna, hey, look, it's even got legs on it. All right, we're breaking their tables. Just sort of hold him up there. We're pretending. You're breaking my table. You sure you weigh just 165 pounds? What's the rating on these tables? Look at there. All right. We've got compassion. We've got faith. We've got desire and love. They got him up. Let's go over that way. All right, let's stop here. Wait a minute. Love don't love him anymore. Love says, this is a lot of work. Love ran out. Now you stay over here on your corner, desire. Don't be cheating on me. All right, love, go to the house. What happens? If the leg wasn't there, it'd fall down. Why? It takes all of it. All right, hop on. Can't believe you broke my table. I don't love you no more. I have no compassion. Let me ask you something tonight. And we've laughed. I've tried to make this as... See, you remember stuff like this. Nobody remembers what I preached this morning, but you'll remember stuff like this. How many of us here tonight would like to have a friend? Come on. Every hand in this building ought to be up. Everybody wants a friend. Can I tell you, the longer I've been in this life, the more I'm realizing that friends are very few and far in between. And I cherish the friends that I have. And I count you as friends. And I hope you see me as a friend. But there's no friend, as we see in Proverbs 18, like that friend like the Lord. But if we want a friend, the Bible says that a man that has friends must show himself friendly. Tonight, if you're going to have friends, you're going to have to show yourself a friend. And I believe if you'll have true compassion, true faith, true desire, and true love, that's a pretty good bag for what a friend really needs to be. Here, these men not only went through the pain of carrying a man, but when they got there, they came into opposition. They didn't stop when opposition come. Boy, that's where true friendship... I like to say that people will show their trueness. You let a person talk long enough, loud enough, it'll come out who they really are. But these men faced opposition. They could have went back to the house. But because I believe of the compassion and the faith and the love and the desire that they had for their friend, they went beyond the opposition and went to the rooftop and went beyond just what most people would ever do and took a roof off of a house and let a man down. I've always wondered about the guy that owned the house. What if I came to your house in the morning about 6 o'clock and you heard something on your roof and I was up there yanking your shingles off? I bet you wouldn't call me friend. You'd probably call in the law. But I've always wondered, I don't know whose house, I don't know. I've always wondered what that guy thought. That's my roof, man. But if it costs you a roof, and roofs are very replaceable, they're getting ready to replace mine Monday, hopefully, or the storm blowed it off. Roofs are fixable. Tonight, how important are friendships? Compassion, faith, desire, love. Pretty good basket for friends. I need some friends. I want you to be my friend. I want to be the friend to you. And church, we'll see Christ grow in our midst if we'll have that kind of love for one another. Again, it can't be about us. It's got to be about others. So there you go. A man to have friends must show himself friendly. Let's stand together this evening. I'm done.